I hope that you all had a very nice Thanksgiving celebration last week. Now that we have celebrated Thanksgiving, we of course had Black Friday, and now we're in the midst of all of the preparations for Christmas. I was able to stay overnight at my parents' house on Thanksgiving, and Friday morning, Mom wanted to go to the store to pick up something for the Advent giving tree at their parish. So against my better judgment, I said I would go with her to Kohl's Friday morning. I've never actually been in a store on Black Friday, and it was everything that I imagined that it would be. We've been seeing Christmas things now for months, but this weekend is really the traditional beginning of the Christmas season. Even here at St. Agnes and St. William of York, we're starting our Advent preaching series a little early this year on the Feast of Christ the King. Because our entire culture is consumed with Christmas now, and the season of Advent this year is the shortest it can possibly be, with Christmas Eve and the fourth Sunday of Advent being the same day. With this time of year come all of our wonderful traditions, the decorating, the Christmas trees, the parties. We even watch some of the beloved movies of this season. One of those movies is It's a Wonderful Life. And this Advent season, we're going to use that movie to explore some of the themes of Advent. The classic tale of George Bailey, a struggling businessman, who's helped by his guardian angel to understand the meaning of his life. As the movie comes to a conclusion, George finds himself alone at a bar on Christmas Eve, drowning his troubles, because a large sum of money that his business needs to operate has been lost. On top of that, he never wanted the job of running his father's building and loan. On top of that, he always wanted to leave his little town, but never seemed to be able to get away. On top of that, he had never been able to achieve his lifelong ambition of being an architect. And if that wasn't enough, his kids were getting on his nerves, and he had just had it. All this leads him to pray that he had never been born. Now, what George doesn't know is that many other people have been praying for George, his children, his family, and God sends Clarence, his guardian angel, from heaven. And Clarence grants George's wish, his prayer, and shows him the world as it would be if he had never been born. As George walks through this alternate reality, he finally sees the meaning of his life. He sees that without him, the town is in terrible shape. The greedy Mr. Potter has triumphed over the common people. George's brother is dead because he wasn't there to save him when they were boys. And the townspeople live in hovels because his father's company closed. George finally sees all that he has accomplished in his life. It wasn't what he originally wanted to do. And once he gets beyond that, he realizes that the value of his life was a great service to others. So on this Feast of Christ the King, in the midst, after hearing today's gospel, we have to ask ourselves, what is the value of our lives? In today's gospel, the Lord Jesus sits on the throne of judgment. He separates all the people of the world into two groups, the sheep and the goats. And we hear the criteria for judgment: feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, visiting those in prison. When these things are done for the least, they're done for the Lord. Because of our faith, we see the Lord Jesus in all of our brothers and sisters, We believe that the good works that we do are done not because they're good, but because we are serving Jesus through them. Our good works become salvific because of our faith. Indeed, the Catechism goes so far as to say that every good thing we do is first and foremost an action of God in us. Because of our baptisms, it is God who is acting in us when we feed the hungry and give clothing to the naked and serve those who are in need. My friends, it is the ultimate irony of our Christian faith that the more we learn to give away, the more we grow. We call this, in the words of our faith, dying to ourselves. George Bailey was deeply unhappy when he was only trying to do what he wanted, when he was trying to achieve the goals that he had set out for himself, but was constantly thwarted along the way. He literally had to die to himself to find true happiness, to stop looking at what he wanted and to see what was being accomplished through his life. Likewise, the Christian life is the life lived for others. And our model in this is God himself. The book of Genesis says that God created everything out of goodness, that he created the world to share his life. The book of Genesis goes on to say that God created man so there could be a creature that he could love, that he could see himself in and love in a special way. If that wasn't enough, when we had sinned, God himself came to save us in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that we could live forever. God gives super abundantly without counting the cost. As human beings, we tend to do the opposite. If we don't hoard things to ourselves, trying to hold on to them, we might give them away, but counting and looking at how much it's going to cost us. Our Christian faith grows when we learn to give it away. My friends, I hope we will learn the lesson of George Bailey today in this season that can be marked by a very particular type of hoarding. God sees what we do for others. And when we do for others because of our love for God, out of our love for God, it is that criteria by which we will be judged.